I learned the old way to drive by accident.
Okay.
Can I, want me to push it further down, or are we good right there?
Thank you. Hey,
Luke.
Recording in progress.
All right. I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Do we have any public comment? All right. As I see none, we'll move on to the minutes. We have May and September. We were unable to approve May minutes because we didn't have a quorum. So I'd like to combine them and see if there's a motion to approve the minutes for May and September.
Can we actually vote on them separately? Because I was here for one meeting, but not the other.
Okay.
So all I'd right. like to participate in the vote.
Okay. All right.
On the first, but not the second.
All right. Perfect. So let's start with May. Is there approval to approve the minutes for May?
I move to approve the May minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Steve. All right. What about September? Is there a motion to approve September? Oh, I'm sorry. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? All right. Perfect. September minutes. Is there a motion to approve the September minutes?
I'll make a motion. Jennifer.
All right, Jennifer. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Mike. All in favor of approving September minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right.
And if we can just note that I abstained on from the September
standard. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on to the business. We have an Afton Express update by Devin.
Yes. Afton Express has been operating for 2 months now, and ridership is on the rise. Passengers have taken over 975 trips, and that's total boardings for the 4 morning and 4 evening runs Monday through Friday. Passenger trips have been averaging between about the mid-20s to mid-30s every day, to give you a sense of that. So we'll continue to monitor the passenger counts and route performance to know where and when to make tweaks to the schedule. We're currently evaluating the schedule to try to benefit those 7-to-7 UVA shift workers, both the AM to PM and PM to AM, which could potentially increase our ridership pool. And so some other things that we're working on this month is the newly enhanced park and ride lot in Waynesboro is complete. So we just started using that stop today, and it sounds like it went pretty smoothly, but Leroy is covering both stops just in case there are some stragglers. And then also we'll begin using a text alert system called Text Marks, and that'll give real-time information alerts to passengers, and they will voluntarily opt into that system. And we'll be able to send them text alerts through their phones just if there's a bus running late or if there's a traffic detour or anything like that, another alert. So we should be able to go live with that probably around next week.
Is that for the whole system or just Afton?
Just Afton. So it'll kind of be a test to see. So if it is successful with Afton, we can look at taking it larger with Freight as a whole system. And I think that's all the updates on Afton I have, unless anyone has any questions about service. Yes?
I'm just curious, anecdotally, what are you hearing from customers?
They seem to be pretty pleased. So they have like kind of a core group that's been established. So once they start riding, they seem to enjoy it enough to keep riding it. And they're pleased with the service, the stops, the amenities seem to be fine. He did a short ridership survey, I believe, like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, just to kind of gain a
sense of where they were hearing about us and how they felt about the service, and it was all positive remarks.
Are the schedules being maintained?
So that's where we're going. So we're right now, I think we're in the process of making sure that the schedules are in fact what they are posted, because I think the afternoon run has been hitting some extra traffic. So we're trying to make a real schedule, and then we'll be, and Nancy's working on making some tweaks to capture those additional riders.
Yeah.
How many riders, what kind of ridership are we going to have even break even with the cost?
I'll say, I think Nancy has the numbers, but all the plan was pre-pandemic numbers. So I think adjusting for pandemic, we still kind of maybe have to double what we have right now, I believe. So, but it's promising that it started about in the 20s per day in September, but now we're up more, seeing more 30
good
a day. So hopefully we'll keep trending upward.
So are some people not working anymore because of the lack of vaccinations? So it's hard.
Do you know, are they going to work mostly? Do you know?
They can't.
I think most of them are going to. UVA was like, I think, one of the number one stop locations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of how many of them are coming from Stanton or Swainsboro or Augusta?
Steve, do you know that?
I don't want to say it's evenly matched, though, with Fishersville being lumped in with Stanton. It's probably evenly matched in there. Mm-hmm. The park and ride's been a pretty popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Waynesboro and Stanton all stops are the most popular for
Yeah, and they were some of the first to establish it.
Where are people parking in Stanton to get on?
At the Stanton Mall.
Oh.
That's the stop location for
now.
I
see.
Okay. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, people on Zoom, can you hear us okay? Yes, okay, thank you. We'll move on to the Stanton Lewis Street Hub update from Ann.
Thanks, Terry. All right, I'll make sure that I speak up so the mic catches me or the mic. If the BTAC recalls, the CSPDC purchased the parking lot on Lewis Street in downtown Stanton where our buses hub up for transfers. That took place back in April when American Shakespeare Center decided to sell that lot. After evaluating other possible sites in Stanton, we determined that really is the best place for many reasons. When we acquired that lot, we knew that it was going to require rehabilitation to the pavement, which is pretty degraded. It lacks good base material. The asphalt is very thin. What we really need is concrete in a bus lane to support the bus traffic every 30 minutes. So in exploring our options there and talking with DRPT, we determined that what we could do with that lot was much bigger than just repave it, right? That we could take that existing paved space and reconfigure the arrangement of parking and bus parking on the lot to make it a proper transit hub and make it a safer, more convenient, better lit, you know, more comfortable place for transit riders to both access the bus and make transfers. So we have been working with Kimley Horn, who is one of our on-call consulting firms, who have done a lot of work actually for Bright, to develop a concept plan for that lot. And we are doing that while meeting a really short deadline. So we have an opportunity to apply for a competitive funding program through FTA. It's called the Bus and Bus Facilities Program, and some of that money is formula, but then there's this discretionary competitive piece. Mm-hmm. FTA will match this at 80%, and we will then partner with DRPT for the remaining 20%. So our deadline is next Friday, the 19th. the notice of available funding came out at the beginning of October, so we really cranked into high gear to make that happen. So Devin has been in touch with many of you to request letters of support, so thank you very much for all of those. Except we do still need one from Greensboro.
I got in touch with,
but we're good. We're going to make that happen. So thank you for that. But, you know, one way or another, we will find a way to rehabilitate the pavement on that lot. But hopefully, if we are successful with this discretionary grant, we'll be able to create a really fantastic amenity in downtown Stanton for transit riders and, you know, residents who access Central Avenue and Lewis Street via the pedestrian pathway that goes up the hill towards Fillmore Street, really make it an accessible, multimodal spot. So, fingers crossed for us.
Do you have a cost estimate?
It's still in the works. It's going to be somewhere between $750 and $1 million. Pavement and concrete is really expensive.
Wow.
One other cool amenity that is being integrated into the design is conduit and dedicated space for 4 EV charging station spaces on the lot. So we'll make sure the conduit is there and then work with, I'm not sure, possibly, you know, a private company like EVgo or one of these charging companies that will come in and run the spaces for you and essentially, I think, lease them from you. But still learning about that piece too. But we'll at least make sure that the opportunity is there. Yeah. That's cool.
All right. Any other questions or comments? All right, we'll move on to the transit development plan update by Lib.
All right, thank you. So it's survey time. We have the rider surveys are ready. I brought them down. So we have them in both English and Spanish. We also have the supplemental hard copy public surveys. I brought those down also, ready to go out. And we did a draft press release for CSPDC to send out announcing the availability of the survey. And that will have the link to the SurveyMonkey link in both English and Spanish. So that's ready to go. I think Devin's just waiting until she has all the hard copy surveys in place. And what are we looking at next week sometime?
I think Monday.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting because then we'll get that survey will be underway. And so we'll definitely share the link with everybody so you can post it on your respective sites just to get the word out about the availability of the survey. We're hoping to have the survey available until about December 15th. So we could just hit it hard and give it about a month and before it gets stale and before the holidays. So it'd be nice to get the survey stuff wrapped up mid-December. And that's, like, from my perspective, it's really great to hear what the riders and the public have to say. That really always sways how the plan is going to go. So it's always, for me, that's my favorite part of these plans, is hearing what riders and the public want and then trying to figure out how to work that into the plan. So that's exciting. The rest of it's not as exciting. We're just chugging away on chapters 1 through 3, which is really just documenting what's out there now. We got the demographic maps done a little bit ahead of time so that Ann could use them for the Lewis Street Hub project. So
I think that's exciting.
Yeah.
I love all the maps.
Yeah. No, that's good too. It's good to get those done. So we don't have to wait on those. Sometimes I have to wait on those for writing, because I don't do maps anymore. I have to get someone else who does. I've aged out of GIS, sadly. So we're cranking away on the other chapters. And I think you guys have done the counts already, right? The porting of IP.
The on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in there compiling that.
Yeah, so, you know, whenever you get that process, you know, send those over. And what we'll do with those is create route profiles. So for each route, we'll show where the heaviest stops are. It's really a nice visual, I think, for planning purposes, so you can see And it seems like ridership has come back pretty well. I rode this morning, and it was pretty busy. So.
It's pretty strong. I haven't compared it to 2019, which is what the matrix is, but compared to 20, it certainly is. Yeah. And it's getting close to leveling off and being packed.
Yeah, so maybe, my point is I'm hoping that the boarding and lighting counts are reflective of what, of you know, your patterns. And well, I certainly think it would be the patterns would be correct, but the volume still might be a little depressed than it was in 2019. So as soon as you get that done, then we'll incorporate that onto the maps. And I think we're moving along. And like I said, the survey is always a big crunch because it takes a while to get the questions and get them processed and get them out. So to me, it's great once it's out. And so I think we're in a good place. Good questions?
Steve Rosenberg, Jennifer, and Regan Allison, if you could pick up those boxes on your way out, those will be up what goes to.
Yeah, these are the backup paper surveys from
paper surveys.
We don't have any of
that. I'm really glad that we are able to have the onboard survey also be online for anybody that wants to sit there.
Oh, right. I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Take the survey on their phone while they're on the bus.
Yeah, so we'll also do that. Right now we have hard copy surveys to hand out on the bus, but for people who don't feel like doing it right then and there, or would rather do it on their phone, we'll also put that survey into SurveyMonkey and have a link. It just occurred to us this week, so but we'll get that done by Friday and send it out.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll move on to a contractor update from Steve.
Yes, I don't have a lot. We're looking for a mechanic now. Thought about a career change. So we're looking for a mechanic, Brent, who is with us. Found an opportunity not to work, by his words, is what he said, and moved to Louisa, so he's hanging out down there, probably redoing a house, got 60 acres of land, so sold a house here, did good. So anyway, we wish him luck. We're still looking, so for an acting mechanic, so and drivers, we're looking for drivers. We our part-time drivers are knocking out over 40 hours a week, so all kind of, you know, scenarios with that, how it affects, you know, your Affordable Care Act report, and you know, it's just all kind of things. So we're looking for that. So and everybody's looking for school bus drivers and bus drivers and truck drivers. So it's not unique to us. I was just at the CTA, you know, they dedicated the whole 9 hours of seminar to that subject. So so everything else is going all right. We're keeping pace. Like I said, we've noticed ridership going up. 250 stays busy. The BRCC not so much, but everybody's coming back. People are coming back out and they're riding. They've accepted the mask. You know, I think it took 18 months or so to get everybody on the program, but you know, they quit drawing the lines in the sand with the fares and the mask and everything. So yeah, they're getting out there, and we're happy. We're happy. So.
Are we at full capacity again?
We're allowing full capacity. Right. So it's crazy. Like I said, the 250 is really heavy. I haven't looked at that to see if it's above and beyond, but that's a lot. Some others, you know, maybe the Stewart's draft length or others are below, but it's, you know, it fluctuates too. It's you know. The circulators in the Northwest are really heavy. It's easy, you know, just to throw out stuff like that without going in and digging in what the change is, what the dynamics are that make a change. But we're doing well. And what else? The Afton Express has been doing. It's really early, so if any of y'all need like a live update at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, let me know. And I'll let you know that we're out there waiting on you. So. But it's been going well. Like I said, we've been with Nancy doing conversations and stuff about how we can tweak this, change it a little bit, you know, move to, you know, we get suggestions from folks, you know, about this time frame and stuff. You know, some of it's related to it, like to move it 7 minutes so they wouldn't have to get there at this time, but some of it is, you know, legitimate and stuff. That, you know, they're looking for a specific shift or something in the area. Those tend to come more than one-offs. They tend to be, you know, three or four people in that department or whatever all sharing that information. So,
are you getting anybody taking advantage of the reverse?
We are. And you know, we kind of anticipated it, and we're still working through it. It's not as easy to come back because it wasn't really set up that way. But we're getting the hang of it. And the phone calls and stuff come in, so it helps. We require them to give us a phone call for those. But the Walmart is kind of odd. I think eventually that'll move to, just in my mind, that'll move to the Park and Ride, the new Park and Ride facility, as opposed to making Walmart an Afton Express designation. So we'll see. And Devin was talking about that. Am I walking all over your presentation?
This is your presentation.
So the 7-7 is the thing where we would drop folks off at you know, 7 o'clock in the evening, making that the last stop, and then we wouldn't do anything all the way around till 7 a.m. and we'd pick them up. So, you know, the buses would be in bed while these folks are working, but they'd have access to a service that met their needs and stuff. So, yeah, we're still working the parts out. But, yeah, it's been well received. The folks like it and appreciate it. They like the internet. The reality is, the traffic's the same whether you're riding a bus or driving a car. That wreck at Ivy is going to affect you, whatever vehicle you're in. So, you know, we've had those, and we've utilized 250. I've driven a couple times and saw into the future and jumped on 250 just at the right time. So we made it on time, but yeah, it's you know, it's all. But they've utilized all these alternative routes. We've used Barterbrook, which is one of those, so we'll have to. So
it's gonna be a better
race, though. That's true. And you know, some of it has been just because, you know, types and traffic and stuff, and rather than the driver, say, going all the way to Stanton or something, we pick those up at the Park and Ride and take them this last bit area so he can turn around and get back to Charlottesville. So it's been going well. So
ready to talk about stop requests?
We can. Man, I'm on again. So we've had some interest in some route changing. Some of it's operational through us. Some of it's been outside. So we're going to talk about the Stewart Straff link right now. We have a couple proposals on that. So on this greatly great map that's done here, this goes counterclockwise. And we start up here at the top near where it says Hampton Inn. That's not exactly where it starts. We're right in there. So we run that. It's an hour-long loop. Runs 12 times a day. And so part of the conversation is we go down to the to Target Distribution, which is out there by the big cow on the side of the road out there by the light. If y'all know where the big cow is, he dresses up seasonally. He's getting ready to go into his Christmas attire. But we're looking at making those call stops. We have a person at the retirement community that's on the ADA, so he has the ability to schedule a ride, so we'll service that. He has a manifest printed for that. But very rarely do we ever pick anybody up there just as a passenger. The Target Distribution Center is the same thing. I mean, we ride by there for days and not pick up anybody there, so we would like to make that a call stop. We would certainly go in there and certainly have the opportunity to do that. But we'd like to get away from going in there every hour just to see. The other thing we'd like to do is put the town center, the stop that they call the Target stop, we'd like to put that on the Stewart Straff lane. It goes by there every hour. I mean, it passes that whole area every time. So in our minds, it just makes sense that it would be on that route. And another one, we had a request to service the cheese stop to make that some kind of stop there, the cheese shop, not the cheese stop.
So was that?
No, that's my bad reading. No. It could be either way, but this time. So on the route, part of where I put the X there that's blocked by everybody on there is just taking that road out right there. Is that Mount Vernon Road? You know, that's correct. Yes. That's Mount Vernon Road. So we go in there, we loop around Patton Farm, and we come back out to Mount Vernon. So we would take that whole section out. And then, like I said, we'd add the Target stop in there as a regular stop.
Is the X where the retirement home is?
It is. Okay. It is. Yep. There you go. Another request we had was to designate the cheese shop, which is on Tinkling Springs Road. If y'all have ever traveled that road, it is it's an experience at times. They offered, Gary Evers owns that or operates it, I'm pretty sure he owns it. But anyway, he had offered to provide space in the parking lot and help us accommodate that if we wanted to do it. This was really taken off of a driver's suggestion. So he wasn't the first one to make that observation. So in Gary's email, though, he did send us this, that it's pretty busy and people drive faster than the posted 55 mile an hour speed limit. So once again, this is the way it goes. And the cheese shop is down here before we get to the Highland Apartments at the intersection there at 340. And so it's on the left. So there's an aerial map. And so early before we even got that request, we'd gone out there and looked, because we're pretty sure this is one person doing this. They get on at Valley View and they request to go there. And there's two scenarios. They could be ADA on an application, and which allows them to schedule rides, and we would go to Valley View and take them. The reality is that the access bus doesn't go to this area. So either way, on the access bus, or they also ride the 250 and get to the Stewart's Draft Lane. Either way, they have to get on the Stewart's Draft Lane. So we went out and looked at this, and what does that say? That's Old Draft Road, and is that Christman's Mill is what that is?
Churchman's Mill.
Churchman's Mill. My glasses don't work in my pocket.
Well, this is west of town or east of Stanton?
This is
west of Greensboro.
Stewart's Draft.
Stewart's Draft.
Okay.
So part of the conversation, we wanted to look, like I said before, we had this request at that intersection. Could we drop them at that stop sign? But the same concerns we have about us crossing this intersection twice to get in that parking lot is the same concern we have about dropping somebody at the stop sign and pulling off. You know, the bus is blocking their vision for a good ways. It's just all those things. So, and there isn't adequate space on the side of the road. There's basically, if you break down on Tinkling Springs, you're breaking down on Tinkling Springs. You may get two wheels off, but you won't get out of the road. So, and like I said, it requires a passenger to cross the road. So our recommendation is just to kind of leave it like it is. If somebody gets on the bus and says, hey, I need to go to the cheese shop, we would certainly entertain that, but we would not push that forward as a destination or someplace that we would, you know, advertise, hey, we're going to the cheese shop or whatever. So proposed changes to the Waynesboro Circulator. So we talked about the town center and being added to the Stewart's Draft Lane. We're going by there all the time. The other argument we had was that we wanted to stop taking the circulator in the town center as a regular basis. So if Waynesboro's over here and the town center's over here and the circulator does all this, it has to go make this right and go over to the town center to go downtown. So it's going through three traffic lights. There are just congestion scenarios with that. There are all kind of things that go on with that. So we would like to make the circulator a call stop for there. Certainly if anybody got on the circulator and said, I need to go to the Target stop, I need to go over there, we would certainly entertain them and take them over on the circulator. But for folks coming out of there and stuff, we would like that to be on the Stewart's Draft link. They both have the same operational hours. They both run the same 12 hours. They meet at the same time at Walmart is where they intersect. So in our mind, Stewart's Draft would pick up at the town center, and both of those buses would be at Walmart, and then they could, you know, people going out of the town center could get on the circulator and head back downtown. So the circulator runs into some time constraints here and there. It just gets busy, and it so that was part of our consideration. Like I said, it has the same hourly footprint. You'd actually leave the town center a little earlier riding the Stewart's Draft. It saves time on the circulator. And so there has been some mesh between the circulator and the Afton Express, as well as the Stewart's Draft. So those are things that are still in the works, but we're honoring those requests now, so we would be able to kind of, you know, solidify a plan or something and have it out. We're kind of just doing it one-off as it occurs. But yeah, it would give us a little foundation. So like I said, we had the same hourly footprint, saves the circulator time. Like I said, head straight downtown as opposed to having to make a wide right, and can be available for the Afton Express. And we had a request for a stop at Vector Industries. So, part of that conversation, it may be buried in the slides somewhere. Part of that conversation was that during the pandemic, that, you know, like everybody, they kind of reduced services. They, you know, had a reduction of folks being there, whatever that scenario was. So they kind of ran their own transportation in there. So through the email, you know, asking what we could do for them, part of it was that it looked like they were, you know, moving away from their own bus or buses, and we're looking for somebody to kind of backfill that service. So I'm trying to establish uses and potential riders. We got, you know, rider information. We didn't have towns, operational times in there, so hours mostly. Impact on the existing route and safety concerns. So that's the route as it currently goes, and if you're on the left over here, you're going up towards the left, go right across Hopeman, then you come down King, which is out at DMV. You come down to King, you get on Gum, which is down on the bottom, gets on Florence, goes over Florence to Bridge Street, which turns into Second Street, there you go, and then heads out to 340 and goes up Social Services. Oh, is how the route is now.
You're passing Vector,
right? We've cut Vector off in that corner.
Yeah,
it's up there. So there are some lovely arrows and stuff. I couldn't get them to move, but the proposed route, in my mind, looking at it, we would have to move something or you know, make a change, because you're in a, you know, in a block of time, so you can't expand that time without, you know, compensating for it somewhere else. So this is the proposed route that I put on for Vector. So you're coming all around all the arrows. And when you get over here to the red X, that's where I change where the existing route is, and I go up that way up to Vector to service that. And then come back down and pick up, and you go back up Shenandoah up to Social Services up there. So one thing, when you cut off the red part down here, is you cut off a stop. It's active here at 2nd and Augusta. Not really active, but it is not, say, like all the other stops over here on the left that are probably two or three blocks from each other in places. It is kind of segregated. So that one person would either have to come out to Delphine to access that. The red X also, let's say, is 5 minutes before the hour. Social Services are on top of the hour, so that's only 5 minutes currently to get from that area over to Social Services. I haven't run the time, but I can tell you it's going to take you longer to go up to Vector to come across Hopeman and come down Delphine to get back to Social Services. So the impact of time was a consideration on that as well.
The trips to Vector wouldn't be every hour, though, right?
Yeah, but at some point you need to figure out, you know, how you would figure that out, what that would be. So, you know, I don't know if they're staggered or...
It'd be a different time. I mean, people go to work at a certain time and then they come home at a certain time. Right. I don't know enough about Vector, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, there was route continuity, so, you know, kind of that, and potential effects on service is what we just discussed. Those people are hopping across it.
Well, I was going to see if Chrissy with Vector Vector Industries wanted to say anything, but I don't know. Chrissy, you're on mute. Oh, there you are.
Oh, here I am. How are y'all?
Hey,
good.
Chrissy, how are you?
Thank you. Thank you for your consideration. So a lot of this is, you know, we work with a disabled population, and most of them do not have licenses, and even the few that do not have cars. You know, our normal work hours are 8 a.m. to 4:30, 4:15, 4:30, but we're willing to work with whatever schedule you guys can accommodate. Not sure how many will use it at this point, but I mean, I've identified 14 just in Waynesboro that could potentially use it. And what we would have to do is work with their parents or their guardians and figure out, you know, if we get them on the bus here in the afternoon, how many stops or changes they would have to make until they got home. We're willing to do that legwork. So I just don't know yet. But it's only two stops a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, and they don't have to be prompt. In other words, if the bus drops off at 7:30, we can accommodate that. If people come in at 8:15, we will accommodate that. And even if it's anywhere between 3:45 and 4:30, we can accommodate that. And increasingly, we have been hiring non-disabled individuals from a temporary service, and we're finding that the transportation is a big challenge for them also.
Yeah.
Is that answering any of your questions?
It is. We got a time frame in there. So, and Chrissy, y'all had some kind of transportation.
We did. We had, back in the heyday, we had three buses, Stewart's Drive, Stanton, and Waynesboro, when we were transporting all of our employees to and from work. You know, so that obviously, with the labor shortage, finding drivers is a big challenge right now for us. And even when we ran transportation, we ran it at a loss every year, but it was worth it to get these people here. So when the pandemic hit, you know, we had just bought two new buses, four transit buses, and then the pandemic hit, and of course we shut it all down, and we left it up to the guardians and parents, you know, can you get them here? And most of them could, you know, during the pandemic, we were starting to get a lot of pushback, as you can imagine. When are you going to start transportation again? Because this is disrupting parents' schedules, their work schedules, and, you know, we've just done everything we can do. So your bus comes here to pick up at least one, I believe, on the paratransit.
Yeah, it's probably two, but yeah, one or two is what that is.
Yeah, one or two right now, and that's when the light bulb went off in my head. I've never had to explore the service before, but I'm going, well, if you're picking up two, can I somehow get, you know, 10 on that bus and get them at least somewhere close to home? And that's if they don't qualify for the paratransit service. I wasn't even aware of the paratransit service because we've never had any reason to explore it. But I really believe that a lot of our employees would probably qualify for that. Now that's door to door. And I know that that's huge. If you start taking 40, well, it's not gonna be 40, but if you take 25 employees and start providing door to door service. So I'm just trying to, right now, if we can just get a stop here, then we would do the legwork. In other words, we'll do the legwork to figure out each employee's route home and what they would have to do. And if we find it's not worth it, we'll let you know. I mean, there's no sense putting a stop here if people aren't going to take advantage of it. I guess that's my thing.
And the in my mind, the value beyond just adding the stop is that that's potentially a population that you're teaching how to access public transportation that maybe wouldn't access public transportation in other circumstances.
Yep.
That's part of the benefit of our population at the center is they're going to go home and they're going to have public transit in their areas that they've learned how to access and how to ride.
Right.
So potentially you're going to have ridership. You potentially would build ridership outside of Vector that wouldn't otherwise be comfortable accessing public transportation.
I love that observation, and you're absolutely correct. Because I, you know, again, I don't know that any of them have that skill right now, other than two of them that are currently on the paratransit program. But you're right. And I think, you know, also, again, transportation, you know, being the biggest challenge of the disabled community, as well as non-disabled people that we found, you know, just creating some type of program that starts and ends at Vector, you know, like someone had mentioned earlier, it's not every hour, it's once in the morning, once in the afternoon, would be a huge advantage for us to attract employees also. Because we never, even with our old transportation program, we never picked up anybody that was not disabled. And there's a large population of non-disabled people working here that are ride-sharing, that are, you know, that don't have the means of getting to work.
So Steve, it sounds like you have to reevaluate how long that change
would take. No, you would need to do that if we're talking about moving to, you know, to an ADA bus. So we've got two buses that run that are pretty booked right now currently with Ryder. So, you know, you may be looking at adding a resource.
I do like the idea of getting a stop in, we call it different things, Maupin Town, but that where Hopeman and Delphine intersect. That neighborhood's about 400 people.
I didn't know that had a name.
Yeah, it's mostly low income.
Undersure.
A couple hundred people. Yeah, it's that'd be great to get them a stop nearby to get on the system because they're kind of cut off from the whole bus right now.
This is an interesting discussion. I seem to remember the last season we changed the route and took that off. I think so. I'm going to go back and look. But this is
something that off.
We took that. I'm pretty sure we took that
off
of
Manfraffic.
From 6 years ago.
Not getting a lot of use.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure. It's been 6 years, so I could have to go look. But I think we rerouted it at that time because it didn't have enough time for the very reasons you just were talking about.
Right.
But you know, maybe twice a day. But I'm going to go back and look. It's interesting if things come and go and demand changes. I think at that time, Vector had a more robust transportation program. And people weren't using it.
That's a pretty significant generator.
Yeah.
It would seem to me, since it's twice a day instead of every hour, it should somehow there ought to be a way to work it out. I don't know. I'm in Stanton, so Waynesboro's a little foreign as far as what well I'm working. But
imagine it's complicated for your riders though to have different routes for different.
Yeah, we got the BRCC that starts an hour earlier, and it served a specific need at the time, which is no longer there. But it is a kind of a, you know, place to rub up against. So yeah, you know, it's an educational thing, but you know,
it'd be great if there were a more efficient way to hit Wayne Hills and get back up to Hope. And that's unfortunate.
Why is it?
Build a bridge.
I seem to remember struggling with this area last time.
It all comes down through and goes back up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wayne Hills is like down here where it's in James Avenue and around this area.
Yeah, James and Gomme.
So you go all the way up and then you're almost there, Vector, and then you cut all the way down.
Yeah.
Is there more to your presentation, Steve?
I think, so like I said, you know, we kind of covered all the high spots. It required reroute and stop elimination, or like I said, if y'all are looking at a targeted.
Would that help without the Waynesboro Town Center? Would that would give you some more time to maybe do that, wouldn't it? If you did both of those changes together?
Yeah, you could figure out where that time
goes. That would save you enough time.
Yeah.
Would it be enough to be a wash?
You're running, you know, it's, so you're running 6:30 to 7:30. You're running an hour. It's back at Walmart, which is its central location. It's making that loop in an hour. So right. The town center is part of that. You'd move your other stops up. Yeah, you could probably accommodate it. And
well, to start with, most likely it's going to take a little more time at Vector until and getting on places for people to learn, the people that are going to be on the bus using it for Vector. It will take a little extra time at first.
That's a good point. It might be slower to board.
But if you're going to load some wheelchairs on the lift, it's going to take longer.
Well, that's going to be a slower matter.
That's what we hit a lot.
Yeah.
Loading chairs on. So
that
and
would just be the access bus, though?
So, well, your access buses have two, and most of your buses have two wheelchairs. So at some point, you're...
Well, if they're in a wheelchair, it would seem they'd be eligible for the door-to-door.
They would be.
So that would solve that.
Well, why can't Chrissy go and analyze how much of a need it would be and how many people would need it and where they would be going and do all that legwork, and then you time how it would change the route, and then we come back to the table again.
Would it also
be probably the next slide? One right there.
I might have a question.
Well, do we know how many riders would be affected by eliminating that other portion?
We don't. It's not a lot, but it's a person that uses it on a regular basis. So.
Yeah, since you have the on-off counts, you could take a look.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jump at the other
side. So I think I try to find a better way to say that. Not in favor of change at this time, but I think it goes back to what you said. We need to go and do our time check on that. We need to drill down to where we're picking these folks up. If obviously if they had ADA applications, you know, that takes a month, 6 weeks to get that through. They have to be doctor certified. And
wouldn't they all be ADA because of where they're working? I mean, not the people that aren't disabled, but the others.
They still have to do the application process, though. But yeah, I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. It's not an arduous thing to get done, the application, other than just it's paperwork and signing a doctor. The other thing is, so that time in the morning between 7:30 or whatever when we start till, you know, 9:30 in the morning, we are, you know, just booked up from now to the end of time with dialysis. So it is, and this is on the demand bus. This is on the demand, so. But certainly nothing's impossible, so.
The stop at Target thing is, I don't know, it's tough with the Afton Express, I guess sort of the whole vision for it that I hoped was that folks in Waynesboro would be able to access jobs in Charlottesville, and that link, and it ended up, the Afton Express is really outside of Waynesboro functionally, you know, we don't have any, but nobody lives in the Target Center, so they've already got to take a bus to the bus, I feel like, and now they've got to take a bus to another bus to the bus. But
so that'd be a negative, no, taking that off?
You're taking a bus to a bus.
Yeah.
Not to a bus, to another bus.
Because it could go out there, you're saying. It could go to the Afton Express if there's somebody there that wants it.
Yeah, and they would, going back, they would take a short. They take Stewart's Draft and, like, cross the interstate and intersect with the...
But weren't you saying that the circulator would stop at Town Center if somebody requested it?
Yeah, somebody got on a James and Gum or whatever and said,
they're going to the bus. If they're in the reverse commute, they got to get on another bus to get to the bus to get somewhere back to Waynesboro.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, my ultimate solution, I mean, I hope one day to see the Afton Express come downtown, because that, I think, would be what it's actually useful to Waynesboro residents. But that's probably a long way away, so I feel like having one bus can actually don't know. That's gives me a little bit of heart for her, but if you're on the ground, then that's how it works.
And the Afton Express stop at the Target Center is really the park and ride.
It is.
So park and ride. To it.
So those are actually, they are two separate stops.
Oh.
Yep. So.
Yeah, you functionally are driving. You're driving to the bus or you're taking another bus to the bus. Nobody can actually walk to that bus stop and come in seamlessly.
Yeah, arguably, every Afton Express stop right now is like that. You're driving to the Stanton Mall and Fishersville in 5 minutes. I guess the only ones you're really walking to are the UVA stops.
There's two of those, so UVA is a little bigger than it looks, so you're getting off at the central garage and dissipating there, or
right.
You're getting off near the hospital and walking from there.
The stops on our side of the mountain are pretty
auto-dependent. Yeah.
So it's really, you're just counting on folks not wanting to pay parking. Like, you're not serving some people that don't have a car. They've already got a car to get to the bus.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like a thinner business model for us than get on the bus and go to work.
Sounds like we need another bus.
Probably like 10 more buses.
Yeah. Oh, really? I mean,
well, hey, Dad, we get to work on it.
Need more money, is over.
Let's see. Well, we need to start at the top.
I'm fine with not going into doing the turn into the cheese shop. That's
okay.
Dangerous to me. And then cutting off the Target distribution one and the town center. I don't know. I'll defer to Waynesboro. That's it's not for us.
We're just going by there. And we kind of do it on an unofficial route deviation. It would just be better if we had it on there as a steward's draft to the town center.
Makes sense.
Let's see, so I covered those. Covered that.
And the circulator is not in that steward's draft link versus the circulator going into town center. That's not an either or. You can break those up and approve one and deny the other. You can keep the circulator going in there every hour if you choose to do so.
Could you make the circulator run down to Target just at the times when the reverse commute Afton Express comes in?
Those times don't mesh. There is a wait time. They're not right here at that time. There's a lead.
Okay, the Afton Express is stopped downtown.
Nancy's still
he's working out.
So you got,
sorry.
You got your hug there?
Yeah.
You have a spot? Like, you have a stop?
And I don't think we've taken 250 all the way through Waynesboro.
No, we still haven't.
I know we are on the Afton Express. I know we've made it to the top of the mountain. And then we've cut across to Lab Road and Barterbrook, but we haven't come through downtown.
And so, let's see. What's the best way to vote on all of that?
I can make a motion that we accept the changes as proposed, but we would look at the vector stop further
and
bring that out again.
And could we add maybe that vector goes ahead and begins the process of all these applications? I mean, if that's a big part of it, to determine how many of the people meet the qualification for the pickup at home.
Chrissy, does that sound good to you? Is Chrissy still there? Hey, Chrissy looks different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
you're still on mute.
Muted.
You're on mute.
There we go. Chrissy had to step out for another meeting. So I'm Angie. I'm the director of accounting here. I've worked a lot with our bus and bus transportation. So yeah, I'm sure she would have no issue with doing the legwork to see him, you know, what kind of interest they would have or need, whether they may be able to do the circulator or the ADA. and then it's like she said, we'll do the legwork and she can get that back to you.
Cool.
All right. So Jennifer made that motion.
Is there a second?
Are we adding the ABA stuff or not? Or did I intrude?
No, make her do it fine.
Okay.
All right, there was a second by Paul.
Well, okay.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I hear none. So moved.
Steve, are you all done? Did you get off?
I thought you liked toast.
All right. We'll move on to the holiday schedule and parades by Devin.
So tis the season for holidays, Thanksgiving holiday. On Wednesday, the BRCC route runs its Friday schedule, so it'll end service at 7:30 and 8 respectively. And Thursday, there will be no service. Friday and Saturday, all routes will resume their regular schedules.
Christmas, this is Thanksgiving?
Yes, this is Thanksgiving.
I was having trouble following you.
Oh, sorry. And then Christmas schedule will follow suit. I'll send that out to you all so you know that as well. But Thanksgiving was priority now. But holiday parades are coming up. We'll be participating in the Stanton Christmas Parade, Waynesboro Christmas Parade, Afton Express will be doing that one. And Stuart's Draft Christmas Parade. So if you
are is there a winter solstice parade?
So if you're looking for some holiday cheer, those are all on the horizon. And then the inclement weather plan.
The Afton Express won't be running Thursday or Friday.
Oh, that's right. Afton Express won't run Thursday or Friday. Sorry.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and the day after. Yes.
And for the inclement weather plan, I will send out the one that we used last year, and if you all could update that contact information and send it to Steve, he'd greatly appreciate that.
Just say ping or they're no longer here and give me an alternative for whatever.
All right. Any questions or comments on that? All right. Other business, the MTD data submitted by Devin.
Yes, so the National Transit Database yearly submission was completed last month, and the NTD records financial, operating, and asset conditions of transit systems, and FTA uses that data to apportion funding for both urbanized and rural areas across the country. And so transit agencies like ourselves, we're a reduced reporter, we report data on vehicle revenue miles, vehicle revenue hours, unlinked passenger trips, and operating expenses. So that FY21 package is currently under review. And then something that's not on the agenda is meeting accessibility. And so we got a comment this morning from Greg Bruno regarding accessibility to these meetings. So this is his comment. By having your Bright Transit Advisory Committee meetings at 2:30 on weekdays, you're severely limiting the ability for working citizens to attend those meetings. At the very least, we should be able to view the meetings on YouTube at our convenience, and meeting minutes available on your website. Meeting minutes are available on the website along with recordings since 2020. So I just wanted to check with you all to see how you felt about either live streaming these meetings, because I know the 2:30 time has been working since 2015 for you all, so I don't know if you would rather shuffle your time change, or if so you want us to look into finding some other way to make these more accessible rather than just the minutes, which do get posted after you approve them.
So you're thinking like 7:30 on a Friday night or
something? Yeah, I'm fine with the current time.
Let's see where the range is.
Fine with live streaming.
So yeah, and I don't know if anyone else has any other suggestions on how to make it more accessible to the general public. Or
did you say the recordings are online?
Yes, so since the pandemic, when we were doing all Zoom, we were required to put the Zoom recordings online, so we started doing that.
Yeah,
it's sufficient.
Yeah, it seems efficient the way it is. I mean, if you want a live stream, it doesn't matter, but it's the same thing.
Except if they want to be able to come and make public comment.
Well, they could,
yeah,
do,
they could do that through Zoom. Yeah, because okay. I post the Zoom information on the website as well.
So maybe something in the recording about that might trigger somebody's interest. I don't know.
Okay.
Evan, I'm sorry, this is Karen. Who put in this comment?
Greg Bruno. He lives in Waynesboro.
So he's a private citizen. He's not representing like an organization.
Right. Well, he has like Waynesboro.com.
He's private.
But yeah, he is a private citizen.
Okay. Is there something that we haven't addressed that he has a concern about other than just the time of the meeting?
He just noted the time of the meeting and availability. But I guess I should look to see if I should put the minutes in a different location on the website. That are more intuitive.
Have we ever had a concern from anyone else about accessibility to the meeting?
No, this is the first request I've heard of. So it sounds like just keep putting the meeting recordings on the website.
Yes.
Okay.
We need to vote on that.
No, you don't need to vote on that. You can always run a social media post to start. Did you know that we have a BTAC, and if you're interested in what they talk about, you can watch the meeting recording here.
Or if you have concerns, I can come.
Or if you have concerns, in this email. Okay, perfect.
All right. We posted on the agenda the 2022 meeting calendar. Any questions or comments on that? All right.
Is it pretty much like it was last year?
Yes,
ma'am.
Sorry, That's right, because your computer update. They're all the second Wednesday of every other month.
That's
starting in January.
Thank you.
I've already put it on my calendar. So.
The second Tuesday?
Second Wednesday.
Wednesday.
All right, any other questions or comments or other business that we need to address? All right, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at, is that 4:30?
That's fine.
3:30. All right, thank you all.
That's all.
Thank you all.
Yes.
Recording stopped.
You need to get out, Becky. I can offer you an arm.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like for somebody to look for it.
Okay.
Maybe I need to. Steve, do you have a way to communicate with the buses?
I can hurl a text over there and call somebody.
I'm sorry. I don't know where they're parked.
I can reach out to somebody.
And
I've not heard.
Good job, Terry. Thank you so much for your great.
Was that Laura that you rode with?
Yeah.